to share with you some thoughts that came to my mind when I was thinking of you. And I want you, if you have your Bibles, if you just want to follow along on the screen, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 15, it says these words, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you," and then ends that verse by saying, "corrupting many." Now, the writer of Hebrews takes time to address the new Jewish Christians. He is talking likely to Rome and to Italy, who were experiencing hardships and pressures to revert back to Jewish practices. And the primary purpose of this letter was to encourage believers to remain faithful to Jesus and to not abandon their faith. And we get to the end of the letter, toward the end, and you hear these words, "watch out." So he's about to wrap up, and before he closes the letter, he says, "watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up and troubles you," and then goes on to say, "corrupting many." So he tells them really two things. Number one, you need to watch out. Keep an eye out for bitterness. He said, keep your guard up. And then he says, because if you don't, it's going to trouble you. And then he said, it's going to trouble others. And then in the passage, you see he explains how bitterness comes about. Studies show that millions of people struggle with unhealed hurts, wounds of betrayal, rejection, abandonment, offense, deep disappointments. And oftentimes that pain can harden and turn into bitterness. Am I talking to anybody who knows what I'm talking about? That bitterness can live in marriages, churches, families, communities, angry, hurting, bitter people can go to church too. Can I get a big amen? And the text gives us some insights. It says that it grows. I want you to notice that. It grows. That when he is explaining bitterness, he gives us an interesting imagery, kind of like something like this, that bitterness starts in seed form. Isn't it amazing in life when you look around about how many big things started out as seeds? Pumpkins started out as seeds, a seed, watermelons, corn, a tree could legitimately be enormous, and it all comes from a single seed. Here's what you and I need to take away from the text, is that bitterness starts small. One conversation, one post, one weird look, one text from a family member at Christmas, one little weird comment, one thing you saw and experienced, it starts small. Words said by a friend, actions from a coworker. And some of it may be superficial sounding, but for some, it goes way deeper than that. It was something when you were 5 years old and someone snuck into your room at night. Starts small. It started when somebody was grooming or somebody said something or somebody pushed you or somebody started something and now you're 30, 40, 50 years old still living with seeds that were planted in your life and you're living with bitterness. Is this real talk today? Can you handle it, everybody? Here's what we know. That not only does bitterness start in seed form, but bitterness grows in the heart that holds the hurt. When bitterness comes and the temptation of pain and hurt comes, when hurt happens in our life, it falls into the heart. And we have an opportunity. We can release it or we can hold it. And it falls in that soil. I really believe this, that the scripture teaches in Proverbs that to guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. And what we need to understand is the devil, he can get your life if he can get your heart. So if he could get you to have some experiences in life that go to the soil of your heart, it will start messing with your identity. You don't know who you are. You don't know which way you're coming or going. You don't know things that, because of things that have happened to you, it's caused you to have confusion and questions and pain. And now it's not just troubling you, it's troubling others. And things have gone to the heart. But how many of you know that seed and soil isn't enough? And if you want a seed to grow, you gotta water it. So if the seed is the hurt and the soil is the heart, the water is the attitude we possess when we're handling the hurt in our lives. And I'm going to give you three things really briefly of how we water the hurt in our lives. And if we continue to water it, it turns into bitterness. It then troubles you and defiles many. Number one, we curse the hurt. So we are angry. I can't even hit this thing. Let me try that again. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he did that. I was innocent. I was a bystander. I was a child. And we're angry. Why does this have to happen to me? Why does this have to be my story? Why did he have to walk out on me? Why did this have to transpire in my life? And you're smoldering, you're angry, you're embarrassed, you're frustrated, stuck in the pain of the past. And it's easy when we are cursing hurt to explain away the pain by blaming others. They did this. This is not my fault. And some of that is true. We're going to talk about it. Cursing your hurt keeps you angry at what you can't change and blind to what God can redeem. First, we curse the hurt. Number two, we nurse the hurt. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 26 says these words: if you are angry, don't sin by nursing it, your grudge. You see that? Nursing it. Don't let the sun go down with you. Still angry, get over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Don't nurse it, he says. I'm the one that's hurt. They knew what they were doing. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Hear me today, that when you cradle a wound, you cancel the cure. When a wound is in your heart and soul, a lot of times what I've found is that when we're hurt, we'll gather people around us that help us rationalize our hurt, rationalize our bitterness, gather people alongside us to join our little army of bitterness against the people that hurt us. And here's what happens. All we're doing is nursing the hurt. And you're not making it any better when you nurse it. So there are some people, I'm sure, in a church small group or friends in the lobby, maybe today, I don't know you, let's just give an example, all right? Somebody could be in the lobby today, and they could say things that is watering the seed of hurt with somebody else, and I can't believe they said that. You know, I'm not one to talk. That's how that always starts. Now, you know I ain't one to talk, but let me throw something at you right quick, sister. Come on, anybody with me? Now, I'm not one to talk, you know. Sunday gossip hits better than any other day of the week, though, don't it? Come on, somebody. Now, I ain't one to talk. We nurse the hurt. Let me give you one more. When we water the seed, we rehearse the hurt. Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. You know, for years when I read that, I thought it was talking about gossip. When you read it in the proper context, what it's saying, repeating and rehearsing and replaying a matter in your mind. Have you ever been guilty 3 weeks later replaying a conversation you had with the little league coach? Like, I'll kill him, I promise to God. Say amen, slow time. Come on, talk back to me. Have you ever caught yourself rereading the text messages? Have you caught yourself going over that discussion, replaying that moment, going over and over in your mind? And what you and I continue to rehearse, we water those seeds and we reinforce the pain in your, in my heart. How many of you got kids? Anybody got kids in here? I got two. And my little kids, Judah and Lily, they're just like kids, and they'll get cut on their knee from falling, and what they'll do is they'll pick the scab, which is disgusting. But when you're a kid, everybody's picking their scabs. But when you get older, you're like, you're disgusting. Like, I'm going to give you away if you don't quit. I'm just joking for real, okay? Somebody's like, okay. So what I've learned is if you keep picking the scab, you slow the healing and deepen the scar. That's what many of us do. That when we see somebody who brings us back to our past of pain, all of a sudden these feelings and these emotions come up. It's like picking that scar, or picking that scab. Here, let me say it like this. When me and you struggle with bitterness, it is like handing that person the thermostat for your house. And then they're at their house controlling your mood. And so when you see them at Walmart or Build-A-Bowl, hallelujah. I went to Build-A-Bowl last night. It was pretty good. So you go to Build-A-Bowl and you see her. She didn't even talk to you, but she controlled you because your bitterness has given her authority over your temperature. Is this helping anybody? If you're not careful, you'll water those seeds. And the truth of the matter is, you can't continue to water seeds and not have something germinate. You can't continue to water seeds and things not grow. Because hear me, bitterness doesn't stay buried. It says it grows. And when it grows, it troubles you and troubles many. There are some of you that are trying to function, trying to live your life, trying to go to church, trying to date somebody, but you're so broken from where you've been that it's hard to be who you need to be today. I've noticed this as a pastor when I have somebody who's been through a hard situation like a divorce and they're trying to get remarried or date, and sometimes they're just not ready. I'm not saying that for anybody in here. Sometimes you just need some time. You're not ready. You were hurt. There's a lot going on, a lot you need to process. And what happens is they're hurting and they're upset. And you want to help them understand, listen, don't rush when you're hurting. Talk back to me. My Lord, I must be hitting something right now. Don't rush when you're hurting, because what you want to help them understand is that if you're still broken and bitter, maybe God's going to withhold the blessing of a great relationship that's healthy for you. What I mean by this is this. Maybe God's not trying to keep somebody from you. He's got somebody for you, but he can't give them to you while you're bitter. And so he can't give them to you while you're broken. He can't give them to you while you're mean and upset. So what he needs you to do before he gives you a man, he needs you to be a healthy, whole woman. Can I get an amen, somebody? Man, if you're looking for a woman, quit trying to go, well, let me just, this ain't my church, let me stop there. Listen, if you're a man looking for a woman, here's what I think you need to do. Find out how to be healthy as a single man, and God will bring you a woman. Am I talking to anybody? What I'm trying to say is bitterness affects everything. Troubles you, and then defiles many. Not only does it do that, the scripture lets us know it doesn't just impact you in your life, it impacts your relationship with God. Look at this verse. Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's a good prayer. That's a good verse, isn't it? And whenever you stand praying, forgive. I thought we were going to talk about faith there for a minute. I thought we were going to talk about speaking the word and naming it and claiming it and having victory and walking by faith. But no. He goes, not only do you need faith in verse 24, let me talk to you about verse 25. He goes, you need to forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Watch this. Jesus is trying to emphasize to us today and to the hearers at that time that a healthy connection to God is also contingent on a healthy connection to man. He's saying that if you want to have it right vertically, we're going to have to get this thing right horizontally. Are you with me, everybody? Cleanse our heart. We open our heart, our minds to God. Got to be honest that if we're watering seeds today, this is some of you here today, that your life, you've been watering things that have gotten out of control. Could be something from your past, your family, your history, whatever it is. But if you were honest before God, not me, just in your chair, in your thoughts, and in your mind, and you were honest before God, and said, I have let some things go to seed in my life. And I've let some things grow too big. And I've let my family reunions get weird. I've had to switch churches. You had to switch. You had to go from fast time to slow time. Because something went to seed. Something went in the soil. And something got saturated with a bad attitude. And now you're troubled. There's a story after the Civil War. General Robert E. Lee was visiting a woman, actually in Kentucky, and it was after the Civil War, and she was angry and bitter about how the war turned out, and she brought the general outside to a large tree that she grew up playing on. This is the home she grew up in. It's a true story. Massive tree in her front yard, and she told the general, look at that tree. The branches are broken. The bark is splintered. Cannons had split this tree. Huge branches are falling down and laying in the yard. She told the general, I grew up playing on this tree. I loved playing in this yard. My dad made a swing and we played on that tree. And look at it. Look what the war did. She looked at the general who was the leader of the South and said, what do you think of that? In an unimaginable time in history, he looks at her as a person who could very well be angry and bitter and upset. And he looked at her and he said, cut it down and move on. Cut it down and move on. Hear the words of this preacher today, that maybe, just maybe, God aligned your steps and my steps to hear these words today, that some of you have watered things for too long and they've gotten too big. And the word for you today is time to cut it down and it's time to move on. I know what they said, but cut it down. I know what happened, but cut it down. I know you've been hurt, but cut it down. You can't allow what has happened to you to define you for the rest of your life. It's time to somebody shout, cut it down. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says these words in closing, and the band can come. Watch this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Look at these words. Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Look at me, everybody. Have you been withholding from somebody something that God so freely gave to you? God forgave you. And who are you to keep something over somebody's head? God forgave me. And who am I to hold bitterness and rage against somebody else? If you have an unforgiving heart, you must have a forgetful mind, because you have forgotten what God has done for you. Is there anybody in this room that's thankful God forgave you and cleansed you and washed you? You should have been in prison, but he saved you. You should have been in a hospital bed. You should be in the grave, but Jesus stepped down and changed your life and forgave you, picked you up, put your feet on the rock to stay, and changed your life forever. And then we as Christians have the audacity to turn around at somebody and look at them and withhold from them what our Lord Jesus gave to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. What am I saying? You didn't deserve it. You weren't good enough to get it. And then we turn around and we look at them. But you don't understand, Pastor Ethan. But you don't get it. I would never diminish some of the pains that you've walked through. Some of you, it's real and deep, and it's far in your life, deep in your soul and deep in your history. But it does not negate the fact that even if it's the hardest thing you've ever done, you cannot let the enemy take your heart and grow things in the garden of your soul that God never intended to be there. Are you still with me? Somebody say, cut it down. Let me wrap this thing up. I'll figure out what I'm gonna do here. Can I just be honest, everybody? A few years ago, and some of my church members are here, and they were a part of this, and they're good people, so I just go with it, all right? These are some great people right here. A few years ago, I was called to take a church in Columbus, Mississippi, where there was some difficult situations. There had been some major disappointment in the life of the church. Leadership failure, legal situations, money was flowing out the door, millions of dollars of debt. And God says, I want you to go to Mississippi. And I'm like, wrong number, buddy. But we felt in our heart to go. And a preacher told me, he said, you're just young enough and dumb enough to do it. I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Just the word I need. We go to Mississippi. Two services, a lot of seats, a lot less people than seats. Lots of bills, a lot less money than bills. Less money, more bills, I should say. Problems all around, people hurting and bleeding and broken. And I remember thinking, how are we gonna fix this? And I wanna show you, I'm telling you, I sat with hundreds of people and did this, what I'm gonna show you. Because everything I just said, you already know, I'm sure. You know you shouldn't entertain bitterness. You know you shouldn't walk in bitterness. You know you shouldn't have the mind to think that way. But how do you do it? Look what happens in Matthew 18:21. Watch these words. Then Peter came to him, talking about Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied. But 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now, here's what you need to know. In that time, contemporary rabbis taught that you only had to forgive 3 times. Jesus comes along, and Peter talks to his rabbi, Jesus, and says, 7 times. Peter's trying to be impressive with this number 7 thing, because at the time, it was only 3. So Peter thinks he's killing it more than double. I'll forgive him 7 times. And Jesus looks at him and says, actually, it's way more than that. 70 times 7, Peter. The hearers that day, their mind would have been blown. Are you serious? 70 times 7? Jesus wasn't trying to get them a number. Jesus was trying to help them understand that forgiveness is an ongoing process. And hear me, the way you get out of bitterness is the same way you got in bitterness. I tell you, watch this. You get out the same way you got in, and how you got in was rehearsing a matter. And how you're going to get out is by rehearsing a matter. Are you with me? So what you start doing is you start telling yourself, you know, God, that was some hard seasons of my life. And you come and you start planting new seeds in the soil of your heart. Words like, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I didn't plan it to happen, but I know you can use it. Paul said, for I reckon not. Paul was from Kentucky. For I reckon not that the sufferings of this present time should be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in me. God, I want to forgive them. I want to walk in peace and victory. And you pour good seed in the soil of your heart. Now watch this. Then you start to rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse. When you see them at Walmart and they get that new car before you got a new car, you're like, oh, I hate her. You know what I'm talking about? You know what you need to do? Stop right then. Father, I pray you bless her finances. Open up the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing on her home and her mind. Let her marry, let her kids go to college paid for. Let her health be divine. Let her husband and let her husband get a raise on it. You can't, watch me, you can't be bitter for as somebody you pray for. Am I right about it? Look at me. I take this church over that's hurting and broken. You know what I started doing? I started planting new seeds. I started planting new seeds. Kurt Gale right here, we had many conversations, didn't we? He's a good man. We started planting new seeds. Come here, Kurt. We started planting, he's over our security, so don't mess with me, everybody. We started planting new seeds. We had meetings, didn't we? I didn't know we were gonna, I didn't plan on doing this. We have meetings, and I would say, Kirk, let's think about it like this. Kirk, what about this? Kirk, I know it's hard. Kirk today is not the man he was when I met him 4 years ago because he started planting new seeds. Thank you, Kirk. He started planting new things, and we started pouring water on it. We started getting healthy. We started speaking life. And now I look around at what God is doing in my congregation, what God is doing in our church, and I see a little sapling over there, and I see a little garden growing over there, and I see a little tree. We're just getting started, but here's what I know. God's not done yet. And if we stay consistent and we keep letting it go and we keep cutting it down with the shovel of grace, we uproot bitterness and we say, you know what? If he's for me, nothing can be against me. Last thing and I'm done. This campus always screws me up. It's that slow time anointing, I'm telling you. Look at me. Bitterness doesn't let you go. You gotta let bitterness go. You gotta let bitterness go. And here's what I wanna do. I wanna pray with you. But I really believe there are three areas that you need to forgive in. It may not be everybody, but it is somebody I need to talk to. Number one, you gotta forgive others. Say amen, somebody. You gotta forgive them. You got to forgive. It's gonna trouble you. You better stop watering those seeds and make a decision today that I'm not gonna carry this. And I may have to water new seeds for 6-7 months from now. I may have to keep watering, but I'm gonna forgive them because Jesus asked me to. And if he forgave me, I'm gonna forgive them. Number two, you gotta forgive yourself. Some of you have been blaming yourself for things that were out of your control. You gotta forgive you. Some of that's not your fault. Some of what you've experienced, you were the victim in it. You gotta forgive yourself. And number three, this may not be for everybody, but this is for somebody. You gotta forgive God. Because I'm sure there's somebody in this room that were mad that they watched their child die. I'm sure there's somebody here today that's wondered why they couldn't get pregnant when everybody else in the small group did. Mad at God. I'm sure there's some people in here today that you're bitter and angry at a God. You came to church, but you're mad at this. If you love me, why weren't you there? Come on, this is a real talk today. Can you handle it? Here's what I believe. Cut it down. Let's uproot this thing. Let's make a decision today that the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. And what the devil meant for evil, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it for the good. It may have hurt for a season, but it ain't going to be the end of your story. Am I talking to anybody? With eyes closed all over this room, I've watched good seeds change bad soil. And I believe today God wants to do it in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every burdened soul that is heavy and angry and hurting and frustrated. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, they forgive others. That they're going to take that thermostat out of their hand and they're going to walk in the freedom that you've called them to walk into. Father, I pray for those that are self-condemning and living in shame and can't forgive themselves and think that they're worthless and they're no good. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray shame off of you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, if there be one or two in this room that has struggled with bitterness toward God, I pray the shovel of grace begins to dig deep in your soul and he'll begin to touch your heart and life in a victorious and new way. Come on, just in that silent moment, I feel like God is doing surgery. I gotta go, but I feel he's doing surgery. There's a knife cutting in somebody's heart. God brought me to whatever town I'm in on slow time. He's doing surgery on somebody right now because you've had a cancer growing on the inside of you of anger and rooting down, and it's disturbing you and your family. But today in Jesus' name, we start the process of watering good seeds. And in 10 months, 6 months, 3 weeks, I pray you're gonna see victory and healing and miracle after miracle in Jesus' name.